Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast.
Anyway, let's jump into Romans 5, and we're going to start strong. 1-2. Paul throws this out right at the beginning, and man, he didn't see this coming because this is going to jam me up. I'm going to have a hard time getting just out of this verse alone. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus, through whom we also have access by faith into grace in which we stand, into this grace by which we stand. In these two verses, he talks about faith, peace, and grace. Stop. We're doing a whole series on just these two verses. And I need us to realize as Christians, because we forget this pretty quick, that when you came to Jesus, it took faith. It doesn't change once you become a Christian. Too often we come to Jesus through faith and then we trade it thinking now it's works. I got here believing, but to stay here, I better work. And then that's where we get judgmental and we condemn other Christians and they're not good enough and they're on. And we create scales of sin and scales of righteousness and scales of holiness and they didn't come to church enough and I haven't seen them. You know, they haven't been around for. Hold up. No. If you got to Jesus through faith, you stay in faith. It doesn't change. And too often we think, oh, well, I got here through my believing, but now I only can stay if I get religious. No, I got to Jesus by faith. I walk with Jesus by faith. I stay with Jesus by faith. I'll enter eternity by faith. Every single day, it's just faith. It's not, Jesus did not come bringing religion. He came bringing belief. Believing in Jesus, faith in Jesus is where it starts, it where it stays, it's where it ends. It's all in the, so stop making this a religious scale of, no, when you got here, it's faith. To stay here, it's faith. To get to heaven, it's just faith. And then he goes on to say, and we have peace with God through Jesus. We have peace. When you come to God, you receive peace from him. The relationship between you and God is mended. It's perfect. It's made right. And so once you've come to Jesus through faith, you should not have anxiousness in your life. I get it. There's stress on just work related and parenting and marriage. And but you should not be a person that carries stress or lives in depression or has anxieties. That's not who you are. You're someone saved by faith and we have peace with God because of it. So you should be a person that walks in peace. Why? Because you serve the Prince of Peace. And so if you live in a realm of peace, what you doing without it? Because of Jesus, we have peace with God. Think about this for a second. If you went to court and you had done something heinous, you done something wrong, you knew, I'm in trouble, in real trouble. And right before you walked into that court, your lawyer pulled you aside and said, listen, I got some good news. You're not going to believe it. But for some reason, this judge really likes you. You're going to start to feel a little better about yourself. Like, okay, maybe there's some hope. He goes, you know what? It gets better, but it's unbelievable. For some reason, somehow, this judge has decided that you're their favorite person on the planet. They love you. When you walk into that court, understanding that the judge has value towards you, the peace you feel changes. But wait, follow me. It gets better. The lawyer says, listen, I don't get it. I don't know how this happened, but the judge likes you so much, but he understands that there was a crime that was committed and something must be paid for that crime. And so while there is a sentence, he gave it to his son. And And so someone is serving the sentence. And someone is paying the punishment. But for some reason, he really likes you. And so he gave the sentence to his son. And so today when you walk into that court, you can have peace knowing that between you and that judge, everything is right. Someone's going to get that analogy later today at lunch. You see, the judge, the creator of the world, the one that holds everything in his hands is looking at you and saying, you and I have peace. And if you have peace with the judge of the world, then where is your anxiety coming from? If God of your life, if the ruler of your life looks at you and has perfect peace towards you and you have peace with him, then there wouldn't be anxieties and stresses in your life. So if there are fears in your life, that means they're coming from an incorrect or an improper God of your life. Can I say it this way? If there is fears and stresses in your life, you're serving the wrong God. You've made the wrong thing God of your life. Because if God is your God, and there is nothing between you and him that would create fear or stress or anxiety or worry, and you have all of that, that means you're serving the wrong thing or the wrong person. And you've allowed the wrong thing authority in your life, because stress only comes from something that carries authority over you. See, you want to know something that I've never had? I've never had stress from your job. I've never had stress from your wife. I've never had stress from the politician that you campaigned for. I've never in my life driven home and thought, oh, I'm so stressed about Russell's job right now. Now, Russell's driven home stressed from his job. Kenneth's driven home stressed from his, but I haven't driven home stressed over there. Why? Because it has no authority over my life. So if you're driving home stressed out, anxious, and fearful, it means that you're serving something that's producing anxiety. And you're not serving God. I love that song we sang today. He's the author of my story. Oh my, I've cried two services now. I'm like, Sam, would you chill out? I gotta preach. So if you and God have peace, but you're not living in peace, then who are you serving? See, so you've allowed a politician or a political movement or an ideology. You've allowed a boss or a culture or an income or a salary or you've allowed your children, a relationship, an addiction. You've allowed something to sit in the seat of authority and the Lord of your life, and thus is producing stresses in your life that you were not created to carry. Yeah, you can work hard and serve hard and be a great example and be a good steward, but you don't have to serve your boss as God, because you already have one, and that God you have peace with. You should be going home with peace knowing I serve a God that's the author of my story. And so I don't get anxious over politics, and I don't get fearful over addictions, and I don't get worrisome over income. Why? Because the God of my story can write me through it. So no matter what the giant shows up, the valley, the lion's den, the fire, no matter what I'm going through, I serve a God that I have peace with. And so I'm not taking this fear home with me. Because of God, I have peace. And when I walk into that courtroom and I look at that judge, the price has been paid. So because I believe in Jesus, I have peace with God. And then it gets better. It gets better. We could have stopped there. Right? Like, that's fair. It's beyond fair to stop there. Paul goes, no, it gets better. And then you have access into this realm of grace. Catch this, church. I should sit down. I'm supposed to be teaching through this. I'm getting all worked up. I'm not. I know what's coming. Sorry, I just knew. I was like, that's not going to work. And then you have access into this grace. See, church, stop asking for grace and start living in grace. There is a difference between God, give me some grace, and he's like, I don't give it. You live in it. It's like asking for oxygen in the earth. It's just is there. It's where you're supposed to rule and reign. It's just part of who you are. And if you're waiting for God to give you grace, you'll never live the life that you were created to live. In fact, can I go as far as to say that you don't have the abilities to produce the desires that are in you? Because God created a margin between the best of you and the beginning of him. And that gap is only changed with grace. See, the best of me could never achieve the beginning of where God's called me to. And it's that grace, it's that realm of grace. When I enter into this life of grace, I begin to start living the life I was created to live. Here, let's keep going to Romans. I gotta keep going as fast as I can. I got two chapters and I want to live in that beginning verse. But in Romans 5, verse 8, a few verses down, it says, now that we are set right with God by means of the sacrifice of the sacrificial death, the consummate blood sacrifice, there is no longer a question of being at odds with God in any way. Okay, in the Old Testament, when the people of Israel would bring their sacrifices to the priest, some of you are going to know this, what would the priest look at? The person or the sacrifice? Okay, so if Jesus is our blood sacrifice and he paid the price for us, and if the priest never evaluated the person, only evaluated the sacrifice, some of you guys are already ahead of me. See, the priest wasn't like, look at you. I know what you did. I know who you are. I know where you've been. No, he did none of that. There was no judgment on the person. It was, look at this sacrifice. Is the sacrifice perfect? Is it pure? Is it up to standards? Is it right? Does this sacrifice pay the price for what you did? If this sacrifice measures up, I don't look at you, I look at the sacrifice. And when God looks at you, he doesn't evaluate you, he looks at the sacrifice. And so it's not your sins, and it's not your failures or your addictions. It's not your past. It's not the divorce. It's not the miscarriage. It's not the abortion. It's not the drugs. It's just Jesus. You go, oh, yeah, but you, man, I was a bad sinner. Bless your heart for thinking you were that good, but you're not good enough. You're not good enough because God's not looking at you. He's looking at the sacrifice. And as long as that sacrifice is enough, he ain't looking at you. And so when you make a mistake, oh, I failed enough. And then you leave church because you're embarrassed and you're guilty and the devil's trying to beat you up for what you did. But you're like, man, real Christians would never do that. Real Christians would never say that. Real Christians would never look at that or watch that or say that or do that. You need to remind the devil that God is not looking at me, he's looking at Jesus, and I already got the perfect sacrifice. So I'm already righteous, and I'm already whole, and I'm already holy, and I'm already sanctified. I've already been set apart, not because of what I have done or could ever do, but because the sacrifice of Jesus will always be enough for me. God is looking at the sacrifice and saying, you look good, you look righteous. You look holy. You look like my son and my daughter. And you go, yeah, but. He's like, shh, 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 shh. I'm looking at the sacrifice. Jesus already was enough. Come on, we got to keep moving. In Romans 6, 1 through 5, it says, if we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? I love this. This is the Message translation. That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into this new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what baptism unto life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like a burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going and in our new grace sovereign country. You have left the country of sin. So why do you keep trying to live in that old house when you moved? Anyone ever moved houses in here or moved apartments or just moved in general? Hopefully you're not still living at mom's. You know what I'm talking about? You're like, I love this basement. It's great for my gaming and there's snacks. There's, you know, hopefully most of us have moved. Maybe some of you still have been at home if you're, you know, under 18. And I'm kidding, 18 and a half. And you've left this sovereign. When you move, it'd be weird if you went back to the old house. Because like someone else is there. Like you just don't walk in like it's yours anymore. You know, like, yeah, I know where the bathroom is. Yeah, I'm good. We're good. I know where I'm headed. Like, whoa, this is not your house anymore. Paul is saying, don't you know that when you went underwater and you came up, you moved. You don't live there anymore. That addiction, that's not yours. You gotta cut that out. That way of talking, that's not your way anymore. Those actions, those are yours. Stop claiming my headache, my back pain, my issue, my anxiety, my depression, my ADHD. Would you cut it out? Well, are you a doctor? No, I'm saved. I'm saved. And so it says, when you go under, and I love how this lined up because we have baptism every month and it happens to be today of all days. And while we're talking about this, if you've never been water baptized, today's your day. We're ready for you, whether you came ready or not. We got clothes, hairdressers, hair dryers. You're gonna leave looking better than you came. Okay, so today, if you've never been baptized, know that this is now your next step in the journey following after Jesus. And if you've been water baptized, let me remind you what it meant to you. That when you went under the water, it was like the burial of Jesus. And when you came out of the water, it's like you were made new in Jesus. When you've been water baptized, you have every right to claim every victory Jesus won on the cross. Can I say that again? Because I know you don't believe this. When you're baptized and you go underwater, according to Romans, you can claim every victory that Jesus claimed on the cross and in the grave. And when he rose from the grave, he left behind that sin nature and entered into a sovereignty of grace. And you have that new claim into that sovereign nation called grace. You're called to live there. So stop going back to that life of sin. And when you come up out of that water, you're like, oh, I just got wet. No, you got changed. There's new life. You have claim to a new address. Someone goes, man, I remember you from your days in college. Yeah, that's not me no more. That's part of my story. It's part of my testimony, but that's not who I am. That's some pain. You got to keep reading the pages because the story changes. There's a wild twist. In the blink of an eye, I changed. Jesus rose me from death to life. My address changed. My home changed. My countenance changed. My personality changed. Like I changed because I no longer am that dead nature. I'm alive in Christ. And my address is now in grace. And because of grace, I could live the life that I didn't earn, that I didn't deserve, that I'm not worthy of. But grace never evaluates if you're worthy or not. Grace makes you worthy for it. And it covers the gap between your abilities and God's calling. Y'all, if y'all want to just see grace on display, look at this. This week, like this week, someone messaged me on social media. I was friends with them in college, and they live in Texas now, and we haven't seen each other for years. And he writes this long paragraph with about 100 ha 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 ha. He goes, "Remember that day you swore on your life you'd never preach? Yeah, look at God now." And I'm like, "Yeah, thanks for bringing that back up, bro. I would swear on my life there's never going to be a day I preach." And God was like, "Don't say never. You've just never gone. You haven't gone from that dead life to the new life yet, but you are not going to appreciate where you're headed if that's where your money's at, because it's not a good bet for you." But I wake up so early on Sundays just stressed out and terrified, and I got to give it to God. Because this isn't me. This is God's grace. Trust me. You guys are like, "Yeah, I know." This is God taking a C student and elevating him with his grace and his grace alone to understand the mysteries of his word. This isn't me. This is the grace of God. Where are you supposed to be because of the grace of God? I know where you've been. I know where you think your ceiling ends. This is the best that'll ever happen to me. If everything works right. No. You got to start factoring in the grace of God in your life. That breakthrough, that's not a breakthrough. That's a standard in God. That healing, that's standard with God. That abundance, that's standard with God. That great marriage, that's standard with God. Godly children, standard with God. Peace beyond belief, standard with God. That's the grace realm that we're called to live, where grace is now the ruler of my life. I'm no longer slave to the authority and the control and the power of sin. I now moved my address, and I no longer live with an address of sin. I live in the realm of grace. Not because I work so hard to earn it and deserve it. Not because I could do all of this. Not because as long as you just give a mic to a preacher's kid, he knows how to preach. Low-key, my sister's amening this. This is a soapbox, but I love when people go, "Oh, here's a good thought, that'll preach." And I'm like, "Yeah, go ahead, preach that for me real quick." Like, "Oh no, you could preach." And I'm like, "Yeah, guys, it's not as easy as you say it is. That'll preach." I've heard about a dollar for every time I got that. I'd have like 15 or 20 bucks, you know? Like, I'd have some money. This is the grace of God. And you are called to live with the grace of God on your life. Here, let's keep going. Here, Sam, can I get my band up here? Go with me to Romans 6, verse 12 through 14. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you do not live under the law of sin, but under grace. Do not let your instruments be used as instruments of unrighteousness, but as instruments of righteousness." Instruments. So we got a piano here. Sam was killing this earlier. I feel like I'm doing it the way you look. But it's not sounding very good. You know, I'm playing, I don't know, you hit a few whites and a black. No? How about these? No black? That's racist. Come on, Sam. We're a multicultural church. We got to play it all. too far, Antoine. My bad. It was just there. It was low-hanging fruit. So, guys, I told you I'm not supposed to be preaching, you know? Y'all messed around and gave me a mic. Okay. Sometimes you do too and you're in it. It doesn't help. It doesn't work. Me getting in, it didn't get any better. I'm so passionate about this, and I think it's broken. I don't think it works right. Okay, Sam, can you play something on it then? He's good. How come it didn't work for me? It was broken, Tosh. He set me up. Hey, y'all can play behind me. It wasn't the instrument, was it? It was the player. See, it wasn't that I was limited. He didn't take away half the keys. I had access to all the keys. I was like, God, I just need more. I just don't have as much gifting as Caleb. I don't got as much talent as Tasha. I don't got what that person has, and I don't got, no. The instrument's the instrument. It's the player that makes the difference. And Paul is telling us to stop letting you be an instrument of unrighteousness, but of righteousness. See, many of us have allowed the wrong person or the wrong thing to play our life. And God is saying, would you give me control for once? Would you give me control? Would you put your life into my hands? Because you don't need more, you need a new player. You don't need an updated piano. You're not missing strings on your guitar. It's just that the wrong person's been playing that instrument most of your life. And so you've been making some messed up music, and that's not who you are, but the wrong player has been controlling your life. And so what you've been producing doesn't sound like what you were created to be. And when you give your life into God's hands and he starts playing your life. And when you give your life into God's hand, he starts playing your life. And when you give your life into God's hand, he starts playing your life. All of a sudden, the church starts to get stitched together into this body of Christ. And all of a sudden, there's an orchestra that the world can't refuse. And there's a sound that comes from heaven that starts to radiate through your life, not just because of you, but because of the person next to you and the person next to them. And that whole row starts to be played like God. And all of a sudden, there's a sound that comes from heaven because you're playing your part in the orchestra of the church. And all of a sudden, there's a lighthouse in the northwest that darkness no longer can control, and darkness can't quench, and darkness can't overcome, because there's a noise coming out of your life that just starts to pull people in, because they're like, there's a grace that I'm starting to hear, and there's love that I'm starting to hear, and there's forgiveness that I'm starting to hear, and there's this realm of grace that I don't know what it is, but I gotta have it. Because look at you, I remember you from college. I remember you back in the day. I remember that addiction. I remember that divorce. I remember that heartbreak. I remember you. How did your life turn out like this? You're like, I didn't do much. I just gave God control. And somehow we started playing this instrument that I thought was broke. I thought was overlooked. I thought was shattered. But when God picked it up, he started playing something I didn't know could come out of me. And then you got to think, I'm just living in a realm of grace that I didn't earn, I didn't deserve. I honestly feel like I have no business being here, but God just keeps using me. And he keeps writing my story. And it just keeps getting better and it keeps getting better because God is the authority of my life. And because I have peace with God, my boss can't stress me out and politics can't stress me out. And I no longer struggle with that anxiety and I no longer lose sleep at night because I have peace with God and God is just flowing through me and there's just grace. I don't know where it came from. But I gave God control. And he started playing me as an instrument of righteousness. Well, you must have done a lot for that. No, I just believed. Remember, because it's by faith is accounted as righteousness. I just believed. I just had faith. But you must have earned that. You must have given a lot to that church. No, I just believed. Well, you must serve a lot. Well, I do now, but I just believed. Well, you must be special. It's, you know, God has favorites. And you must have, you know, gone to that college and that foundations. And you must have, I did that because I just was so enamored with God. But it was a byproduct. He just started playing this instrument. And the tune changed. And the sound changed. And the production changed. And everything just changed. And I did nothing but believe. God started playing this instrument and beauty came out of it. You are not too broken for God to make something beautiful from. You are not too addicted for God to turn your ashes into beauty. You are not too overlooked and untalented and broken. And no, you're an instrument. And you've just been in the wrong hands. And when we give that instrument to God and he starts making the music that you were created to produce.
Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.